I'm here to be baptized as a testimony of God's grace in my life and as an act of obedience to Jesus' command that believers are to be baptized. For a long time, I had thought I was saved when I was about 16, attending a Seventh-day Adventist school and church where I learned some half-truths. I'd come to know about Jesus. I'd been convicted that I was guilty of breaking God's commandments. I knew Jesus died for the sins of those who believe in him when he died on the cross. I knew this was the way I could go to heaven when I died. And I was taught that to be saved, I must believe in Jesus Christ and become a Seventh-day Adventist. This meant keeping all of the religious requirements of the Adventist Church, all of the requirements of their false prophetess, Ellen G. White, with emphasis on selected Old Testament laws. I'd heard about grace through other influences in my life, but no one could explain what that meant or how it worked or its relationship and context to Old and New Testaments. For me, when choices were laid out, giving up things listed as sin, like eating bacon and going to movies, and adopting conservative Adventist distinctives like not wearing makeup or jewelry and keeping the Sabbath, was the price of admission for salvation. So I was taught, and I wanted to be saved. I believed this teaching, and I was baptized. And my life did change. I was zealous. I prayed more. I told others about how to be saved by becoming a Seventh-day Adventist and believing in Jesus. I read verses in the Bible through the interpretive lens of their prophetess. I was ridiculed by my family, who didn't like my holier-than-thou choices, which I considered to be persecution. I asked my teachers and church leaders lots of questions and tried really hard to stay sin-free. It sounds like I had checked all the boxes for salvation, doesn't it? I was doing the work. Thinking back, I practiced being a Seventh-day Adventist for about 2 years. After that, my life was characterized by a variety of peaking and waning efforts towards self-righteous moralism and connecting with God by staying close to some kind of a church. That part has been confusing, because some may want to call this my spiritual journey or a falling away. But as I look back, I bore no evidence of a gospel-transformed life. By that, I mean a life changed at the heart level in a way that only the Holy Spirit can accomplish, that is consistent with the Bible and growing in Christ-likeness. Believing in the wrong person or work of Jesus saves no one. Counterfeits are slick when they look like the real thing, but they deceive us into thinking we're rich when we're bankrupt. They make us think we're well with God when we're dying without him. Counterfeits produce external results that don't measure up to Scripture's standard. They're man's attempts to do the work that God sent his Son to do that no man can do. When I was around 40, I had an opportunity to participate in a ladies' Bible study. I jumped into something that was already in progress, probably around Hebrews chapter 5. Opening the Bible, I remember distinctly it seemed like truth I'd never read before was jumping off the pages. So I did the next study, Genesis, and the next. And somewhere in the book of Romans, I remember the conviction of sin overwhelming me and leaving the classroom to fall on my face and pray and call out to God. To try to remember back more than 25 years, I can't answer all that I understood or the timeline of change, but I was steadily learning with my Bible open, taking it in and growing in Christ, little by little living more obediently to Scripture, praying and depending on the Lord. I didn't get grace until I got it. And I don't deserve this. I didn't earn it. I can never pay it back. This gift of faith that happened in an unknown instant gave me new life. And Jesus did it. Everything. It's all him. He chose me. He plucked me out of my solidarity to sin and death. He justified me in his bloody death on the cross when he took my sin and gave me his righteousness. The punishment for all my sin was spent on him, every drop of it. And I will never experience anything but what flows from his love and more love and grace and more grace. It is a gift. And he will not let me go. I'm not who I used to be. I belong to him. He is constant in me. His spirit is changing me more and more into the image of Christ. He is my hope. He is my joy. He is my purpose. He is my life. I love the Lord more than anything. And I also love you. I love his people, the church. I love his word, and I desire to make him known to the lost and walk alongside others who come to know him and together grow in Christ-likeness, fighting sin by the Spirit's power for righteousness in us. According to God's word, he has done this in me. So while I still don't know which day that God's grace plucked me out of my slavery to sin and death, I won't deny that he did. I desire to be baptized today because what I was baptized into as a young adult was a works religion. It was a counterfeit. It was my attempt to save myself, and I can't. And while the act of baptism itself does not save, it is important to God. The Lord made believers' baptism an ordinance. I don't want to excuse myself from obedience in this category. By grace, I have been saved through faith. And this is not of myself. It is the gift of God, not of works. I will boast in my Savior.